College football playoff letdown, NFL Week 17 recap, and I have to eat some crow about the Philadelphia Eagles. LaValley Sports Talk begins right now. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the LaValley Sports Talk podcast brought to you by the Sound Line Network. As always, I am your host, Chris LaValley. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. We're going to kick it off, and we're going to talk about the dud that was the college football playoffs. This first segment's going to be pretty quick because there's really not a whole hell of a lot to talk about. Plus, I want to move on to the NFL. So Bama smoked Cincinnati 27-6. This game was never in doubt. Bama scored 17 unanswered points in the first half. They held Cincinnati out of the end zone all game. And much like Notre Dame in years past, Cincinnati looked like a team ill-prepared for the big stage. You know, this Bama team is absolutely loaded with talent, especially at quarterback. Bryce Young is the real deal. And to me, again, there's no question that Bama's going to win the whole thing. And then we move on into Georgia embarrassing Michigan 34-11. This was a beat down from start to finish. Georgia was up 27-3 at halftime. Michigan's quarterback, Cade McNamara, was a disaster and was eventually pulled in the second half. He threw 106 yards and two interceptions. Georgia's Stetson Bennett redeemed himself after a pathetic showing in the SEC title game. He threw for 310 yards and three touchdowns. And this was nothing short of an ass-kicking. Georgia absolutely put it on Michigan. This, for all the questions anybody ever has about which conference is better, is the SEC really that elite? It's that conversation has to be put to bed at this point. The SEC is just so much better than everybody else. It's at this point there is you cannot make a logical debate about which conference is superior or if any of the other conferences come even close. And for those who bitch about how the SEC, and I used to be one of those people who used to bitch about how the SEC plays weak out of conference games in the regular season. Look, they can afford to do that because look at what they do to the other conferences. Yeah, I know in the other bowl games, people were talking about how the SEC was getting beat up by the other conferences in all those other bowl games. Let's be real. Those other bowl games don't mean anything. 9 times out of 10, most of those players that, or most of the starting players that were on the roster in the regular season, once they hit the eligibility to enter into the NFL draft, they're not playing in those bowl games. They don't want to get injured. They don't want to ruin their draft prospects. So what matters is the college football playoff. What we're seeing right now, the fact that the SEC is this much better than everybody else, at this point, it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you, the fact that there's this much of a difference between the SEC conference and all the other conferences. As far as my title game prediction goes, look, I was dead wrong about the outcome for the Michigan-Georgia game. I really did believe, A, it was going to be a close game, and B, Michigan was going to come out victorious because of their defense. And unfortunately, we're going to have an extremely boring championship game. I don't see any way that Georgia can possibly flip the script and shock Alabama. I think Bama is going to blow out Georgia, too, by the way. Look, it's great. Georgia blew out Michigan. Congratulations. There is no question in my mind that Bama is going to just pretty much have another opportunity to embarrass Georgia on the big stage. So I think the final score is going to be somewhere in the range of 42-24 Bama. I'm not going to watch the championship game. This will be the first national championship game, for at least for the college football anyway, national championship game that I haven't watched in a long time. But to me, this is a foregone conclusion. Unless I get an update on my phone telling me that Georgia's up at halftime or at some point during the game, Georgia actually has a lead, then maybe I'll turn it on. But outside of that, there's really no point. So, yeah, look, to me, this is Bama's championship to lose. And once again, we just all have to sit in awe of how incredible Nick Saban is and marvel at the run that this Alabama program has been on over the past decade plus. All right, so we had one exciting week 17 in the NFL. We're going to kick it off with the Bengals stunning the Chiefs 34-31. Joe Burrow, 446 yards and four TDs. Mahomes, 259 yards, two touchdowns. Burrow played the greatest game of his young career. He completely outplayed Patrick Mahomes. The Bengals defense held Mahomes without a touchdown for the final three quarters. The loss drops the Chiefs out of first place in the AFC, and they will likely miss the first round bye. Their only shot is for the Titans to lose to the Houston Texans this weekend, which I don't think will happen. So you're going to be looking at the Titans as your first place team in the AFC, and the Chiefs will very likely be your second place team. Going into this game here, if you're going to sit back, all you Chiefs fanatics out there, if you're going to sit back and tell me that the Chiefs are going to run away with the AFC, I don't know. I truly don't know what you've been watching this entire season. Yeah, that's great. They went on a run. That's good. That's awesome. Congratulations. Did you look at the teams that they beat, by the way? Have you looked at their overall record against the AFC playoff contenders? Because the AFC playoff teams that are currently in the playoffs as they stand right now, the Chiefs are 1-4 against them. Their only win against a playoff team is against the Chargers. They've lost all the other games that they played against the AFC playoff teams. So, not to mention the fact that defense that everyone's telling me about, how that they have the stout defense, their defense is right. They just got 34 points hung on them. I don't understand how you can honestly sit back and tell me that this Chiefs team is just above everybody else. Because it's just, you're not being intellectually honest at that point. If you want to tell me that you love Pat Mahomes that much and you believe Pat Mahomes can drag this team to a Super Bowl, that's fine. I will listen to that argument. But don't sit there and lie to my face and tell me that this Chiefs team as a whole is better than Chiefs teams in the past. The Chiefs team last year as a whole was better than this Chiefs team is this year. The only reason why anybody truly believes that the Chiefs are going to make it to the Super Bowl is because of their undying love for Pat Mahomes, which, look, is fine. Again, I don't have a problem if that's your argument. I have the same type of love for Aaron Rodgers. I believe Aaron Rodgers can overcome all odds, and he's going to drag his team to the Super Bowl, although I think the Packers as a whole are the best team in the NFL. But in years past, that was my belief in Aaron Rodgers. So if that's your belief in Pat Mahomes, just be honest about it. Don't shy away from it. Don't be scared. Just say, yeah, I believe in Pat Mahomes this much. So this way, when you're wrong, when the Chiefs don't make it to the Super Bowl, and that's the thing, is no one wants to actually say, I believe Pat Mahomes can do it, because then when Pat Mahomes fails, which he will this year, then all of a sudden their God is nothing more than a mere mortal. Anyway, moving on to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, Dan Orlovsky talked about this at ESPN, and I think he's right this week. He said Joe Burrow has put himself in the top five quarterback conversation. I don't really like doing the top five. I like doing tiers when I do my quarterback tiers. I didn't come up with a tier category. Mike Sandow did that years ago, and I stole it from him. But I do like tiers better than your top five, your top four, your top three. Because when you're doing tiers, you kind of expand. You can have more than five best quarterbacks, because you're limiting yourself. I think a tier one quarterback is somebody who you believe is a franchise quarterback who can win a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is in that conversation now. Somebody who you believe can take a team and win a Super Bowl. Do I think that the Bengals are going to win a Super Bowl this year? I do not. I don't. They are far exceeding expectations. They are way above where they're supposed to be right now. Do I think Joe Burrow will win a Super Bowl? Yeah, I do. I think that's without question. All the Bengals have to do is just put a few more pieces into place for him, beef up that offensive line a little bit more. And this team and that fixed that defense, especially that secondary, just a tad. And this Bengals team, they're gonna be one of the top three, four teams in the AFC for a while. So good for the Bengals. Congratulations to Joe Burrow on really asserting himself as one of the best quarterbacks in football. The Cardinals embarrass the Dallas Cowboys 25-22. Don't let that score fool you. This game was a joke. Kyler Murray, 263 yards, two touchdowns, plus 44 rushing yards. Prescott, 226 yards, three touchdowns. The Cardinals own the Cowboys for the majority of this football game. The Cardinals have now secured themselves a playoff spot. I'm wishy-washy about how I feel about them going into the postseason. We're gonna do a whole postseason preview on Richo and Lala this week, so I'll get into what I believe is going to end up happening in the playoffs at that point. The Cowboys have once again proved me right. They can't show up on offense against a playoff caliber team. Prescott continues to be inconsistent. He's not an elite quarterback, folks. That conversation is dead and it's buried. No more. No mas. Unless this dude shows up in the playoffs and wins at least a playoff game this year, you cannot put Dak Prescott. I don't want to hear it anymore. He's not a top quarterback in this league. He is a franchise quarterback. He is a good quarterback. He's not great. So he's not earning his paycheck. I've said this on my podcast last year. Do not pay him. Jerry Jones was doing the right thing. Do not pay this dude. Franchise him again. Make him prove it. Make him prove it. He's making $70 million this year. $70 million you're paying this dude. And he is at best, if you wanted to do top 10 rankings, he's at best, what, 10th, 11th best in the league right now? Do you have confidence in Dak Prescott winning a playoff game? Because I don't. This Cowboys team, for all their greatness that they have on defense, and again, I can't believe I'm saying this, their defense has been more impactful this season than what should have been a completely loaded offense. Ezekiel Elliott has been a complete dud once again this year. Take fantasy aside. If you just look at his stats overall against the other running backs in the league, he still has less rushing yards than Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry hasn't played since week 8. I don't know how anyone can truly have confidence in this Cowboys team moving forward. Like I said, I'll get into my playoff predictions this weekend on Richo and Lala, but this team is they're not going in the right direction as we near the end of the season. Packers roll past the Vikings 37-10. Aaron Rodgers, 288 yards and 2 TDs. Backup Sean Mannion for Kirk Cousins, who was out because of COVID, 189 yards, 1 touchdown. This game wasn't close. Rodgers should have locked up the MVP in that game. Packers clinched the number one spot in the NFC, home field advantage throughout the playoffs for the second straight year. And a loaded Vikings team will miss the playoffs, which is just absolutely insane. This Vikings team should be in the playoffs. Mike Zimmer should be he should have been fired weeks ago. Now, to me, that if the Vikings don't fire Mike Zimmer, I don't know what the hell they're doing. This has just been an absolute shit show from start to finish for the Minnesota Vikings. They have completely underperformed for all the talent they have on offense, and they have a decent enough defense where this team should have won at least nine games, if not 10 this season. It's a travesty that this team is not in the playoffs. Bucks squeak past the Jets, 28-24. Tom Brady, 410 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Zach Wilson, 234 yards, 1 touchdown. This game main story was Antonio Brown, which I'll talk about later on in another segment. The Bucks barely survived and struggled again against an inferior opponent. Brady should have lost the MVP after this game. Look, he had that great last minute drive down the field with no timeouts to win the game. But there is no reason, absolutely no reason, that this team should have been in that type of position against the New York Jets. In my opinion, the Bucks' injuries are going to cost them the opportunity to defend their title in the Super Bowl. Side note, one positive side note for the New York Jets is that Zach Wilson has shown some promise of late. The Jets might have something special with this kid, and they can use their first-round picks in this year's, or next year, I guess technically still, next year's draft to build around him and not look for his replacement, at least not yet. Which, look, if you're a Jets fan, that's a positive. I think that Zach Wilson has shown flashes where you kind of sit back and you go, you know what? It's actually a pretty damn good throw. This kid has shown the potential to be a starting caliber quarterback, a franchise starting caliber quarterback in this league. Given the current state of the Jets, I think that that's a slight positive and something that Jets fans can actually hold on to, is that you may have something special with Wilson. Maybe you don't. I mean, maybe, look, Wilson could flame out just like the other Jets quarterbacks over the last decade plus, but, you know, it's still something to hang your hat on. That head coach, by the way, though, dude, that dude needs to be fired. He's terrible. The fact that he's throwing his offensive coordinator under the bus at the end of the game rather than taking some onus on himself. The only head coach who had a worse press conference in New York than him last week was Joe Judge giving some 11-minute soliloquy about pretty much trying to filibuster as to why he should keep his job. That dude has to go too. But anyway, let's get to some other news and notes around the league. The New England Patriots thumped the Jacksonville Jaguars 50-10. Jones, 227 yards, 3 TDs. Lawrence, 193 yards, 1 touchdown. This game doesn't mean much as the Jaguars suck. Patriots offense went off all game, and Jones had a get-right game after playing poorly his last two starts. There's really nothing else to say. The Patriots are going to make the playoffs. The Jaguars, they're just a dumpster fire. With the Rams survived against the Ravens 20-19, Matt Stafford, 390 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. My preseason MVP, dude's still struggling. Stafford has got to stop throwing interceptions, especially pick sixes. He's got 4 this season alone, and he has 15 interceptions total this season. The Rams continue to look sluggish on offense, and I'm concerned about them heading into the playoffs, particularly Stafford. This is Stafford's opportunity to prove all the doubters wrong that the Rams made the right choice. The Rams made the right choice moving off of Jared Goff. The question is, did they make the right choice going with Matt Stafford? I have been a Stafford defender his entire career. I think Matt Stafford has been criminally underrated. I think Matt Stafford is in the tier one quarterback conversation, although he's never had the opportunity to prove it. This is his opportunity to prove it. I'm not saying Matt Stafford has to win a Super Bowl. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Matt Stafford has to perform in the playoffs. He can't be the reason why the Rams lose. All right? He's got one of the best wide receivers in football in Cooper Kupp. He has other playmakers on offense. Look, the connection between him and OBJ is actually starting to heat up a little bit. I was wrong about that. Dead wrong about OBJ. I thought Beckham was going to absolutely decimate that locker room, and he was going to make matters worse rather than better for the Rams. He's actually stepped in, and he's kept his ego out of it so far. They've got Jefferson, who is a pretty good wide receiver three, and that defense is slowly starting to ramp themselves up a little bit as they're heading into the postseason. And getting back to Stafford, I'm hoping to see him step up next week against the 49ers, stop throwing interceptions, and just play a clean game. But really, the real measuring stick for him and for if the Rams made the right choice is going to start in 2 weeks when they play in the wild card round. And then finally, the Las Vegas Raiders defeated my Indianapolis Colts 23-20. Derek Carr, 255 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Carson Wentz, 148 yards and one touchdown. This week, the Raiders chose to show up. The Colts didn't, which is unfortunate given the playoff ramifications of that loss. The Colts could have clinched a playoff spot with the win, and they didn't show up. Carr continues to be underrated in this league. He's the reason the Raiders are in contention for a playoff spot. Look, I know the numbers, a touchdown and two picks, whatever. Derek Carr is one of the most... To me, Carr is where Stafford was in all of his time in Detroit. Everyone just kind of laughed off Matt Stafford. I think the same thing about Derek Carr. I think Carr is completely and criminally underrated in this league, just an afterthought. Carr has held this team together. Think about all of the turmoil that this team has gone through. Carr has shown his true leadership by being able to help his team win football games week after week after week. The Raiders should have been dead weeks ago. I was dead wrong about them. I pronounced the Raiders dead after the whole Henry Ruggs incident, and then obviously you had the Gruden problem and everything else that's gone on with that team. And I believe that they were done. I believe the wheels were going to fall off and they were just going to be an afterthought. And to their credit, they've continued to just string wins after win after win. Let me move on to the Colts here. Carson Wentz played like crap in this game. He started 0 of 9, finished 16 of 18, but did very little to move the ball down the field. This was the type of game that Wentz needed to step up and win, and he didn't do it. This will be the type of game that he will have to win come playoff time, if we even make the playoffs. Now, I think we'll be okay. We have to play Jacksonville next week. We should win with ease. Although, with the way that this team has played, and I've said it before, this team has constantly put themselves in bad positions. We should have beat the Raiders. We should have beat the Raiders, but we should have beat the Ravens earlier this year. We should have beat the Rams when the Rams came to Indy and we were up by two scores at halftime. You know, this team has constantly given... There's another game that I'm forgetting that they gave away as well. Oh, against Tennessee. We should have beat Tennessee at least once. So... this team has constantly put themselves in holes and they've had to dig themselves out of it. Now, do I think they can do it? Yes, I do think they'll make the playoffs. But specifically with Carson Wentz, I said this last week and I think I said it the week before as well. Wentz is going to have to come up big in a playoff game in order for the Colts to win at least one playoff game. Do I think this Colts team is a Super Bowl caliber team? Yeah, I do. I actually believe this team has all the talent to make it to the Super Bowl. Do I think that they have the offensive firepower, though, to beat a team like Kansas City, to beat a team like the Chargers? No, I don't. I think they could obviously they could hang around with Buffalo. They proved that. They could hang around with New England. They proved that. Tennessee, I still think they could beat Tennessee. I do. I think that that both the Titans and the Colts are very similar in all of their positions. They're similar at quarterback, they're similar at running back, and both of them have good defenses. So I think the Colts have the ability to go deep into the postseason. The question, though, is Carson Wentz going to step up and play like the 2017 Carson Wentz that I still believe he could be? That's the question for this team. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And I've been leading the Carson Wentz bandwagon for years, believing that 2017 Carson Wentz was not a fluke. The fact that he was able to drag that Eagles team a couple years ago with parking attendants and janitors to the playoffs, although Eagles fans still don't want to give him credit for what's up, Richo. The fact that he was able to do that, to me, was a glimpse of that 2017 performance, showing everyone, dude still clutch, dude still has it. He can take a team to the postseason. Well, now it's time. This is the time he has to step up and he has to prove that the Colts have more than just a great running back, that they have a great quarterback too. If he doesn't, obviously if he doesn't show up next or this coming week against Jacksonville, we're screwed anyway. It doesn't matter. We won't make the postseason. But let's just say the Colts win against Jacksonville. There's going to come down to a playoff game, whether it's in the wild card round or let's say we win the wild card round and we make it to the divisional round. And one of those two games, Carson Wentz is going to have to make a play. And if I'm going to end up ultimately being right about Wentz, he's going to have to do it. And if he doesn't do it, if he lays a dud in the postseason, then I'm going to have to come to terms. And this is, to me, this is the deciding factor for him. Just like I talked about how Matt Stafford has to prove all his doubters wrong, Carson Wentz has the same pressure on him. If he lays a dud, all of his supporters, with me leading the pack, are going to have to come to terms with the fact that, you know, 2017 was the fluke year. It was his Cam Newton year. He had one really good year, and he's had another decent year, like the year that he dragged that Eagles team to the playoffs. And then after that, it's kind of just been middling of the road. Like, he's been a decent tier two quarterback. Nothing special, nothing terrible. His numbers this year have been decent, but he's got to step up. This is shit or get off the pot time. And I'm really hoping that that he's going to be able to show up and prove all the doubters wrong. All right, my last regular season picks of the season. I was 2-2 last week. Four games for you this week. I got Rams at 49ers, Chargers at Raiders, Seahawks at Cardinals, and Saints at Falcons. The Rams at 49ers, I've got the Rams as a 5.5-point favorite. I think you go with the Rams here. I would love the 49ers to win this football game. I would want to see the 49ers in the playoffs. I just think the Rams are a better football team. So, I'm taking the Rams with the 5.5 points. Chargers at Raiders. Chargers are a 3-point favorite. I'm taking the Chargers all day. Like, there's any question about that. I think the Chargers are a better football team. I think Justin Herbert is that dude. And I think the Chargers deserve to be in the playoffs. Seahawks at Cardinals. The Cardinals are a 6.5-point favorite. Take the Seahawks. I think the Cardinals are going to be sitting people. The Seahawks could possibly win this football game. I think this is going to be Russell Wilson's last time playing quarterback for the Seahawks. I think he'll ball out, and I don't know who the hell is going to start for Arizona. So I would take the I would take the Seahawks here. And then the Saints at Falcons. The Falcons are a 4.5-point dog. I'll take the Falcons. I would take the Falcons here. This is the type of game where it means nothing. So because it means nothing and there's no pressure on them, Atlanta will actually show up and win the football game. That's how I look at it. The Saints need this win in order to make the playoffs. If they win and the 49ers lose, they're in. If the 49ers lose and the Saints lose, the 49ers are in by default. So I believe, I don't buy into the Saints team. The Saints should not make the playoffs. That's just, to me, that is just absolute insanity. It makes no sense to me whatsoever how the hell this team is even. It shows you how weak the lower half of the NFC is. The fact that the New Orleans Saints, without a real quarterback, are hanging around and still have the potential to make the playoffs. That's just absurd to me. So because there's no pressure on Atlanta, I think Atlanta will win. It's just the way that the Falcons seem to roll. I like Matt Ryan in this game. This might be Matt Ryan's last game in Atlanta. Obviously, there's speculation about where he may end up somewhere else in the offseason. So I'm buying the Falcons. So to recap real quick, I've got the Rams -5.5. The Chargers -3, the Seahawks +6.5, and the Falcons +4.5, and that is your Week 18 picks. So Antonio Brown is my subject of Everything is Stupid. So to recap what happened, Antonio Brown lost his mind on the Jets sideline. There's still speculation about what actually transpired on that sideline. Antonio Brown's camp said that Bruce Arians wanted him to go into the game. Brown was claiming that he was still injured, and then Arians cut him on the spot. Do I believe Antonio Brown's side? No, I don't. But at the same time, no one has really come out and vehemently denied those reports either from the Bucks side of things. So I'm not too sure what to believe. But at the end of the day, let's take all of the, take what happened aside. This falls at the feet of first Bruce Arians and second Tom Brady. When it look, it this is Antonio Brown, okay? Antonio Brown is completely and utterly at fault here. The dude is selfish. He's narcissistic. He's done this everywhere he's gone. He did it in Pittsburgh. He did it in Oakland. He did it in New England. And now he's doing it in Tampa Bay. The guy, yes, does he have some mental health issues? Clearly, the dude needs some help. But that doesn't excuse the fact that he's been just an absolute jackass everywhere he's gone. However, the Bucks had an opportunity to get rid of him earlier this year with the whole fake vax card scandal. And according to Bruce Arians last year, when Antonio Brown was brought in, he said that there will be a zero tolerance policy for him. And then Brown screwed up and they let him back on the team. Now, I understand that the team was desperate due to the injuries, but Bruce Arians showed how weak of a person he was and how weak of a coach he was. You lose a locker room when you do shit like that. If you say, this guy, we have a zero tolerance policy for you, bro. You fuck up, you're out. Given your history, given your off-the-field scandals, you need to be 100% committed to this football team. No distractions, nothing. And the minute you step out of line, you're out of here. He stepped out of line. He also, I believe, that's a felony what he did. So not only did he step out of line, he broke the law. But you're going to excuse all that because of how gifted he is. The problem with Bruce Arians and coaches like him, and look, Arians isn't the first one to do this. But the problem with coaches like this is it at the end of the day, when they have a meltdown or when they do something catastrophic to the team, it falls at your feet. You're the captain. You make the decisions. And at the end of the day, you chose to keep Antonio Brown, whether it was because Tom Brady told you to, or whether it was because you believe that he gave you the best chance to win, although I think that Brady had a lot to do with this, which I'm going to touch on Brady in a second. You still went back on your word. You told all the other players on that roster who have had to abide by the rules and following everything that you've told them that if you're gifted enough, you can get away with whatever the hell you want. And that is 100% how you lose a locker room. Now that brings me to Brady. And for whatever reason, Brady is getting a complete and utter pass in this, and he shouldn't. Brady was the reason why Brown continued to get chance after chance after chance, whether it was in New England and now in Tampa Bay. And reports have come out that he did press Arians to bring him back this season post the vaccination card scandal. So, again, for a guy who's thought up in the media, and it's pushed all the time that Brady is the selfless man who just gives everything he can to his team, who sacrifices paychecks, and is willing to go above and beyond to make sure his teammates feel good. Well, how is he making his teammates feel good about him and about the organization when he's constantly trying to give one particular player extra chances when he's breaking the law, allegedly committing sexual assault, doing completely detrimental things both on and off the football field? How are you making your teammates feel better when everyone else knows if you're not a superstar, not only would you be kicked out of that organization, you probably would never play football again if you did any of those things. How are you being a selfless teammate if you're making exceptions for only one player? That's not being selfless, that's being selfish. But Brady's not getting held, his feet aren't being held to the fire on this one. Everyone just keeps bowing down to Brady and, oh, he was just, all he did was look out for Antonio Brown and he was just trying to help him through all of his trials and tribulations and, oh, Brady this. No, man, fuck that. Tom Brady only did this for Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown was Antonio Brown, because of what he could do for him on the football field. If you think he was going to do that for some practice squad wide receiver, you're kidding yourself. All right, this all comes down to Brady believed his best chance to win football games was Antonio Brown being on the football field. That is it. That is the only reason. It has nothing else to do with Brady being this immaculately wonderful human being. All right? Like, that's bullshit. And if you're buying into that narrative, I feel sorry for you. And there's a bridge in Brooklyn I'd love to sell you. Because That's not true. At the end of the day, this does come back to Antonio Brown. Like, I'm not trying to, and I know it sounds like this given the way that the segment is going, that I'm just blaming everybody but Brown. At the end of the day, Antonio Brown is a jackass, and he doesn't deserve to play football again in the NFL. He has burned every bridge possible and has continued to show that the only person he cares about is Antonio Brown. He doesn't care if he wins. He doesn't care if he loses. He cares about catching the ball and making his money. That's all he cares about. It's just all about Antonio Brown. But those other two individuals, Arians and Brady, have been complicit in allowing Antonio Brown to continue to get away with this type of bullshit. So they, too, do need to be held accountable. Whether or not they will be, I mean, that's we'll see what happens moving forward. But the fact that the media is just completely ignoring at least Brady's aspect, they're willing to call out Arians because people did back when Arians let him back on the football field and was like, oh, well, clearly your zero tolerance policy, that was just a lie. But no one is willing to actually sit back and go, you know, Brady had a lot to do with Antonio Brown remaining on this football team. Again, ultimately, this comes down to Antonio Brown being Antonio Brown. But the other two individuals play a factor into this as well. And they need to be held accountable for allowing Antonio Brown to get away with the bullshit that he's gotten away with over the last few years. So as we enter into the final week of the NFL season, I've been looking back on some of my predictions, my preseason predictions. Some are worse than others. One in particular, though, I have to unfortunately eat some crow about, and that is what I predicted about the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, before the season started, I was bullish on the fact that the Eagles weren't going to win more than four football games. I was so bullish, in fact, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts on this segment exactly, actually, that I was so bullish that I made a bet with the Sideline Network's own Richo, along with our buddy Landon, who is also a diehard Eagles fan, along with Rich, that the Eagles wouldn't win four football games, and if they won more than four football games, I would have to wear a pair of Daisy Dukes. And that's going to happen at the end of the football season at some point, and that will be up on social media. And I will be sure to let all of you know that you can check out that horrific photo when that time comes. Now, the Eagles, they clinched the playoff spot this past week with their win against the Washington football team, and they will win at least nine games this season, which doubles, more than doubles, the amount that I thought that they would win. And they could potentially win 10, depending on how, you know, if Dallas is going to choose to play or start anybody. And even if Dallas does start anybody, the Eagles could still potentially win that football game. So they could win 10 games. Now, they've had an extremely easy schedule, and that is something that I overlooked. I still looked at their schedule and I went, it doesn't matter how easy it is, I still don't think this team is good. I thought that team was terrible. They never beat a team with a winning record this season. That's how piss poor their schedule was. And I just believed that the teams that they were playing were still going to end up being better than them. I mean, look, I in my mind, they were in the Detroit Lions category of terrible. That was where I put them in my head. I was like, there's no way this team is going to be successful. I understand they're in the NFC East, but preseason, I thought Washington was going to be much better than they ended up being. I thought Dallas was going to, well, Dallas is still a good football team, but I figured they would get swept every time they even looked at Dallas. And I honestly thought the Giants were going to be better too. So I completely misread the NFC East, aside from Dallas. I had Dallas making the playoffs in the preseason. They're still going to be there. But look, I was wrong. There's no other way to put it. I was dead wrong about this football team. And Jalen Hurts, look, he ended up playing well enough to get by anyway. I would take, and I'll put it this way, all right? I would take Jalen Hurts over Baker Mayfield. I would do that. Do I think Jalen Hurts is a solid NFL starter? No, I don't. But I also don't think Baker Mayfield is either. But just to give you an idea, I think Jalen Hurts is a better overall quarterback. I think he's a better decision maker than Baker Mayfield. Jalen Hurts' season stats, 3,144 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he's had 784 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. So, look, he's had, if you look, he's had 26 total touchdowns. He's had 10 total turnovers because he's had a fumble. He lost a fumble at one point during the season. I think he's had 5 fumbles total, but he recovered the other 4. He's played well. He's played better than I thought he would. Now, a lot of my dislike for Jalen Hurts, and it's purely out of spite for how the Eagles treated Carson Wentz. Now, I will say this. I didn't buy into Jalen Hurts coming into the NFL. Okay, I didn't think he was much of an NFL quarterback. I thought that he was lucky at Alabama, although he got pulled in the championship game for Tua because he couldn't do it. And then he went to Oklahoma and he racked up all of these massive numbers. But then again, if you look at the other quarterbacks who also went to Oklahoma who racked up massive numbers, there's Baker Mayfield and there's Kyler Murray. And there's only one of those quarterbacks that have proven to be successful in the NFL so far, and that would be Kyler Murray. With that being said, though, I like Jalen Hurts, and I'll put this out there right now. I like Jalen Hurts as a person. I think he's a good dude. He showed that this past week, after the Washington football team's freaking stadium was falling apart, and a bunch of fans who were trying to dab him up as he was walking off the field fell from those stands onto the ground. And Hurts put out a statement the other day asking the Washington organization, hey, what's being done about this? What's being done about this to help these fans, their medical bills and whatever else they may need? What are you doing to fix this problem? And what can I do to help? So Jalen Hurts is a good guy. I like Jalen Hurts off the field. On the field, it's nothing against him personally. Well, it is a little personal because I'm mad. It's not at him. It's about the Eagles organization for how they screwed Carson Wentz. But just as a pure quarterback, I don't think Hurts has it. I never have. I still haven't changed my mind. Just because the Eagles made the playoffs doesn't mean that I think Hurts is a viable NFL starter. But he's played well enough to get the team to the playoffs. And again, I was wrong about him. I was wrong about him. I was wrong about this team. Nick Sirianni has proven to be a pretty damn good head coach. Although it took him a little too long to realize that he had an elite running game. Had he figured that out earlier on this season, this team could have won 10, 11 games. I mean, I think that the Eagles arguably have a top three running game in the league. And they're lethal at running back. They're lethal at running back. And obviously with Jalen Hurts, they have a rushing attack in multiple facets, very similar to what Baltimore has. So again, overall, look, this whole segment, it really is just for me to say I was wrong about the Eagles. Unfortunately, I got to wear Daisy Dukes at some point in the coming weeks. Again, I'll let you guys know when that unfortunate photo will circle itself around on Instagram. And congratulations to the Eagles on making the playoffs. You're going to get bounced in the first round, but you went further than I ever thought you would. Again, I was wrong. And this is a humble pie that I'm not really enjoying eating. So with that being said, let's move on. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the LaValle Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Sideline Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Greatly appreciate it. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. Hope you all be well. Stay safe. Talk to you all again next week.